Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever you guys are tuning in from. I almost called you guys liver lovers. That's weird, but sometimes Liberty lovers comes out as a tongue twister for me. So anyways, hopefully we're starting the show off with some giggles. And this is Amber from Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries. For those of you tuning in for the first time, let me share a bit about who I am and why I'm here. I'm a mom. I'm a private health care practitioner. I am the director of Living with Freedom Ministries. I am a medical freedom advocate and activist. And last but not least, I'm a God-honoring liberty lover. Through my ministry, one of the things that I love helping people do is set up private member associations and ministries or churches that are just that, private, and helping people stay in alignment with their God-given purpose, their higher purpose in life, and set up these personal private ministries so that they can serve others according to that higher purpose. So that's just one of the things that I am passionate about. And if you want more information about that, you can visit me. Actually, you can get access to more information at go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. And the reason I share what I share is because thanks to the life experiences I've had, I learned just how far we've really strayed in life as a society from living without our freedom and our liberties intact. So, you know, we've really strayed a long ways from that. And I want to really out of moral obligation and realizing this is part of my higher purpose, you know, I share and I choose to share these truths with others. So that's part of why I'm here, part of why I do what I do, and why I'm sharing with you on this Living with Freedom show on Freedomizer Radio. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is number 6. I launched on July 4th, which is pretty darn exciting, and we air every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, with the Living with Freedom show. And today's topic is something that's been near and dear to my heart for over a decade before I even became a mom, and that's this whole back to school / back to fall prep naturally. I've really been in natural health and wellness for a decade plus a few months, and it's just something that really catapulted me into this whole living with freedom lifestyle, realizing that I can take back so much of my own power and my abilities and my strength and my energy and my focus naturally without having to ask permission or ask, it really comes down to asking permission. I am the only person who knows my body and what it needs. So why would I outsource that to somebody else? Yeah, if there's a really specific challenge that I'm facing and I've done what I know, yeah, sure, I'm going to ask for help by someone who has studied that particular, you know, thing. But to really outsource my health and my wellness to somebody with letters behind their name and who has a license, I just don't subscribe to that mentality anymore. And a lot of people, especially in the last 4 years, have made that pivot in life. So back to school, back to fall, most of us, whether we're parents or not, whether we're students or not, summertime is just a whole different ballgame when it comes to how we treat ourselves and our bodies, stress-wise, food-wise, exercise, all the things. compared to the other seasons. At least that's how I see it, and that's what I've observed. In the summertime, often we're a little more relaxed. We might do more picnics and camping, and, you know, with camping comes s'mores and possible beverages if you partake. And come fall, it's sort of our second chance at those New Year's resolutions of taking back our health. And I think that, I don't really know the origins, I should have looked, but August is National Wellness Month, and for me, it makes sense because it is kind of that starting over, getting back to the real world, real life. So that's kind of my focus for today. And before we get into that, though, I do want to start out with two of my fun new tidbits. And the first one is the National Holiday of the Day. I think these are fun. Don't take them too seriously. If you aren't a fan of it, you know, you can just appreciate every day for being the blessing that it is. I think it's fun to celebrate these random silly holidays like National Donut Day or whatever. I like to use, I think it's nationaltoday.com to look up what the random holiday of the day is. And the one I chose to focus on for today was the fact that it's International Cat Day. You heard that right. Cat, like the little furry pet that purrs on your lap. And we'll also dig more into cats specifically when we get into the main topic. But I love celebrating one of our oldest pets. I mean, people have been having cats as pets since ancient Egypt times. Cats were, you know, very highly revered in those times. And even though I'm a dog person, I will add that disclaimer. I'm a dog person. I love my golden retriever, and I love most dogs. But I should say and, not but. And I've grown to have a really strong fondness for cats, especially friendly cats. If your cat is temperamental or antisocial, it's like, meh, okay, it's cute. It's fluffy looking. It's adorable. But I don't really have a strong emotional attachment to cats in general. So that's kind of my little disclaimer. But the reason I love cats now is they do have, like, their personality is representative of kind of how I choose to be. They're a bit of a rebel with a cause. If they don't like it, they're not going to do it. But it's not without reason. You know, they're not just a go-along to get-along kind of animal. And I know this is getting really philosophical. I'm reading really into, you know, the topic or the holiday of the day. But dogs often, especially golden retrievers, they're very much go-along to get-along kind of animals. Like, as long as they can, you know, be by you doing whatever you're doing, they're happy. And they don't really care. Cats, they march to the beat of their own drum. If they don't like you, they won't let you know. They're not one to, you know, fake it. Some dogs will tell you, you know, we'll let you know if they like you or not too. But cats are just very discriminating. And they use a lot of discernment in what they do. They're also very goofy. They also have their moments, of course. I'm not praising them like they're perfect. But it's just, they are a very interesting animal. And they will fight for what they want. Especially the wild cat. They, you know, they're predators. They have to fight for what they need for survival. And I admire that quality in cats. So whether you have a cat or not, whether you like cats or not, I think we can all find something to appreciate about them. And like I said, I'll touch a little bit more on why it's kind of fun and funny that we're talking about cats or, you know, celebrating cats today as we're talking about, you know, back to school and back to fall prep naturally. And my big focus with this is wellness. So there will be a tie-in, I promise. My other fun tidbit of the day, some of you might groan, some of you are not grammar, spelling, school nerds like I am. I love to learn. And something I've started doing this year is reading through Black's Law Dictionary. Because I do a lot of things that pertain to law and lawfulness, I realized I'm not going to go to school as a single mom. I'm not going to spend my time and money trying to study, even part-time, studying law school, partly because it's so biased. You're only taught certain perspectives, virtually none, at least none that I've ever heard of. No law school in the entire country, even those that teach quote-unquote constitutional law, they don't actually teach what the Constitution says and how to understand it. They only teach constitutional theory or constitutional law theory and case law and precedents. Those things really are not what constitutional law is made of. And so why would I partake in a system that's already biased? So I'm taking it upon myself to study law. One of those things is studying Black's Law Dictionary. And I think last time I also gave the example of why it's so fascinating to me to study this. Even the word a single letter has at least three meanings in Black's Law Dictionary. And if you're needing to assert and defend yourself, one of the things that you can use to your advantage is using the use of language and meaning to defend yourself. So I've actually heard of people basically having their case dropped, or I guess their opponent's case dropped, by arguing and requiring the definition for the word is, or maybe it's of, something like that, is or of or the, in every instance of like every part of the opponent's complaint or motion, whatever it was. They literally had a case dropped because the opponent was not going to go through the work and the time and the effort of defining and explaining the use of the word is in every instance in that entire, you know, document. That is how we use these things. Just earlier today, I was on a weekly podcast, and it was brought up the idea that, I had mentioned how we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. It's a biblical concept, and it makes a lot of sense, especially in the context of the world today. You must know your enemy. And I'm going to use strong terms like enemy in this instance, even though I don't believe in such division personally, for the most part. But you need to know and understand your opponent if you really want to win. That's true in debate class when we would debate controversial topics. It's true in any kind of conversation, any kind of sales and marketing. You need to know who you're dealing with to be able to make an impact, make a difference, or even make the sale. And so I really love the idea of knowing our enemy. And how we can do that is know how our opponent is using language against us so that we can then turn the tables and hold them accountable to the words they're using. So my word of the day is actually a phrase, and it sounds really intimidating. I'm going to break it down so it's not so intimidating. The phrase of the day in this case is abatement of action. I'm going to repeat that, abatement of action. So we're going to break it down into these separate words. So the word abatement, I don't really love the definition of that word, so I'm going to break it down more. But abatement means, in Black's Law Dictionary, so we're going to get like a triple threat today. Abatement is a reduction, a decrease, or a diminution. It's a weird word. It also is the suspension or cessation in whole or in part of a continuing charge, And they give the example, like rent. So I don't really love that definition in the context of what we're looking at. So I went back to the base word, abate. Abate is to throw, to beat down, destroy, quash. To do away with or nullify or lessen or diminish. And then they had mentioned a case law in the dictionary. To bring entirely down or demolish, to put an end to. And so in the context of abatement of action, this definition, to throw down, beat down, to bring down entirely or to nullify, demolish, makes a little bit more sense in this context. Now the word action in this situation, they're talking about a term used in the legal sense, which means a lawsuit brought in a court, a formal complaint within the jurisdiction of a court of law, and then they gave a case, the legal and formal demand of one's rights from another person or party made and insisted on in a court of justice. So when we combine these two together, abate, remember we just talked about, means to bring entirely down, demolish, or put an end to. An action is a term to basically bring a demand of one's rights from another person. So now we're going to go back to, I'm using the 1990 edition of Black Swan Dictionary. So there on page 18, the definition of abatement of action. Abatement is an entire overthrow or destruction of the suit, the lawsuit, so that it is quashed and ended, to vacate, or also a dismissal. It says pleas in abatement have been abolished by federal, let's see, I don't quite understand the acronym, but it says FedR Civil P7C. So whatever that acronym, it's not really an acronym, but it's an abbreviation, stands for some civil law, I'm guessing it's civil procedure is probably what it is. But it says, pleas and abatement have been abolished by this, such being replaced by a motion to dismiss under Rule 41. In certain states, however, this plea, abatement of action, still exists to attack jurisdiction or service of process, or to allege that a prior action between the same parties concerning the same subject matter is pending. So really what abatement of action is a motion to dismiss. Most of us have heard that verbiage. Abatement of action is a bit more old school. But I think it's really interesting to go back to this older language, because sometimes it can have a stronger and more solidified meaning. Sometimes when we dilute language, it also dilutes the meaning and makes it a little bit more wishy-washy, a little bit more unclear. And sometimes it's very intentional why that happens. So anyways, abatement of action is the word, or really phrase of the day. So the reason I think this is so important, you guys, to know and understand this is, most of us at some point in our lives, especially now with the way of the world, will face some sort of challenge. I'm not making any guarantees or promises or threats for that matter, but I am looking at the likelihood. The likelihood of any one of us dealing with challenges or issues at any part of our lives, I would say, is a little bit more increased. So one of the resources that I love to use to really raise my education and knowledge about the court system, if I am ever dealing with a challenge or some kind of issue, is a course called How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer. If you have been a listener of my radio show, you have probably already heard me talk about it. So here's my little blurb, I guess, about the How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer course. When taking back your rights, don't leave the biggest part in the hands of someone who isn't even going to fight for you and your rights. How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer does just that. Dr. Graves, the creator, teaches you what he's learned over his many years as a lawyer so you can protect and defend your rights yourself. If you're interested in this course, and I highly, highly recommend it, my referral link, my affiliate link, which I do get a thank you for sharing, is, and I share that in full disclosure. I share it just because I believe in the course. I believe it's really phenomenal. I have gone through the course myself and working through it to make sure that I fully understand the components. So I just believe in it. I would share it even if there wasn't, you know, a commission referral affiliate option. But because there is, I do want to, you know, share that link just in case you are interested. So the link is howtowinincourt.com/S0024. And with that, we're just about done with segment one. So what I'm going to do is I will cut to a commercial now. And when we come back, we will start segment two. Just a little technical difficulties. For some reason, the first ad is not wanting to work. So we're going to select a different one.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org. Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on freedomizerradio.com. Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
All right, and we are back with segment two of Living with Freedom show on Freedomizer Radio. In segment one, if you missed it, we went over first my fun little tidbit. Oh my goodness. Tidbit being the fact that today is International Cat Day and the Black Law Dictionary word of the day, which is actually a phrase, which is abatement of action. If you want to know more about that and a little bit more about our radio show and the topic of the day, feel free to go back after the recording and check that part out. The next two segments, we are going to really deep dive into this whole back to school, back to fall prep naturally concept. What does this have to do with living with freedom, first of all? I'm sure some may be asking that, especially because in other segments, talked about Constitution and Bible and taking back education for our kids and all these different things. What is wellness and, back to school or back to fall prepping have anything to do with living with freedom? For me, when we take back control of our health, of our bodies, of our minds, that is the way that we get back our freedom. If we're reliant on others for any of those things or many more things, we aren't truly living with freedom or living in freedom. So when we take back our health, our wellness, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we are taking back our rights, our liberties, and our freedoms. So that's why this topic ties in so beautifully in what I do. Plus, it's my first love and one of the passion projects of our ministry, Living with Freedom. So my first tip I have five category tips, we'll say, and then some subsections I'm calling options. Some things people may want to implement all of the above. Some people might just want to pick one. So I'm kind of giving categories and then options or ideas of ways to take back your wellness and your freedom in those areas. So the first one is planning, especially if you're a parent. You know that back to school and back to the fall schedule means there's got to be a lot of planning. There's after school activities. There's, parent-teacher conferences if your kids go to a public or a private school. There's just getting back into a school routine. Sometimes it could involve, checkups if you participate in that kind of stuff. And so planning is a really big part of the back-to-school, lifestyle. Let's say you don't have kids, though. Fall, especially in northern states, we'll put it that way. Fall in northern states requires a level of preparation in shifting from summer through the fall into winter. So most of us who live in these northern states have some kind of fall cleanup checklist, whether it's written down or kind of just mentally in our heads that we, run through when the time comes. But I'm going to tell you that with some planning, these things can all be so much easier. And actually, I'm making a note here because I forgot to write one down that I don't want to forget to share. So, all right, we got that written down. My option one for keeping up to date with your planning is a really simple one that has taken the world by storm, especially in the prepping, planning, homeschooling, mom, bloggy communities. We'll put it that way. And that's bullet journaling. The thing I love about bullet journals is you can buy any notebook from the store. It could be just a five-star notebook. It could be one of those, composition notebooks. It could be a really pretty little notebook. You can get any notebook you want and do bullet journaling with. So I'm going to stand up really quick to reach on this shelf. And I'm going to grab my bullet journal so I can kind of flip through and give you an idea of what I've done. Currently, I don't bullet journal because I found a planner I love, which is going to be my option two. But I want to share a little bit about how I've done bullet journaling in a way that, one, really focuses on supporting my creativity, especially as a parent, but even just as a working person. Creativity can really feel like it's on the back burner when you're dealing with just your average 9-to-5, or if you're an entrepreneur working for yourself, even worse, because most of us, our workday does not end, you know, when the store, closes. It's not a 9-to-5. What I love most about my bullet journal is I can track whatever I want. If I'm doing personal development or taking any kind of a class or just taking some notes, reading an interesting book, I can keep all of that contained in my bullet journal. And so what I've done with different bullet journals is sometimes I create like a monthly spread. They use in the bullet journal world spread a lot. So sometimes you might have a monthly spread, or you might have an exercise spread or a daily spread. What that really means is the layout on that page or set of pages and what you have on there is what your spread consists of. So this one year in 2017 in my bullet journal, I started out with June, and I, by hand, with a ruler, just, like I said, to kind of focus on that creative side and just creation aspect that I was craving so much in my life, I made the monthly calendar. I used a little bit of calligraphy in some of the headings, and then I also put the national month. So June is National Aquarium Month. I pick a fun one. I don't pick a serious one. And then on that spread, I basically put any of my recurring events or very, very special events that I cannot miss that's out of the ordinary. My day-to-day stuff, though, I do not put on that one. I personally thrive on a daily spread. So in this bullet journal, what I did on my daily spread was I put the date at the top. I put and I would do this every morning. It was kind of part of my morning routine, part of like journaling a little bit. So I would look up the forecast. I would write down the forecasted temperature so I could see very quickly all of the things, including how I was going to need to dress for the day. I also created a little timeline at the very top of some of the important parts of my day. Like if I was going to be busy, I would highlight that area. I was a new mom, so my kiddo wasn't brand new, but my kiddo was still during, you know, in nap ages. So I would highlight when naps would happen, when bedtime was. I would mark off the busy times, basically. I also was creating, what I did was I drew the picture of a water bottle. And I made increments on how much water I needed to drink in a day. And then I would highlight it throughout the day when I would accomplish drinking that much water. It's just a fun little thing. Some people just make boxes when you've done 1,000 steps in a day or for the hour, you know, whatever. Once you've accomplished 1,000 steps out of 10,000 steps for the day, you check off each box for 1,000 steps. And that's another way you can do it. I think that's about all I did with that one. Oh, I also drew a little clock and I marked the arms of the clock at a 15-minute increment and I marked it as declutter time. So each day I would spend 15 minutes decluttering. As a mom of a 2-year-old at the time, I needed that daily declutter time to maintain my sanity. I also was participating in a study program, and so I wrote down kind of the homework of the day for that. And if I had any other like business activity or work activity, meeting up with friends, if I watched a inspirational video or professional development video, kind of like TED Talks, stuff like that, I would maybe make a little box and write down some notes from it. I'd also write down really inspiring quotes. One is, let's see, weary worker, there is a way out. That one was one that I wrote down. I also wrote no excuses in really big letters with that big, like, do not enter sign, the circle with the line across it. So for me, bullet journaling was a way to maintain inspiration and also have a creative and fun way to keep track of the things I want to keep track of. One of the other things I love, 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 love bullet journaling is I would just do it per week. So I'd create my monthly spread. I would have like a week overview. I would have a day per page. And then I'd have a few pages after that for random things. So if you're going to be going to a conference, for instance, and you need to, you know, pack for that conference or make plans, accommodations and things like that, you can make those lists in here. So it's all together in one place. And then you can, when you keep your planners from month to month or year to year, you can then go back and review and, you know, duplicate from last year and add to it. So you don't always have to be reinventing the wheel every time you go to the annual conference or whatever. So that's just one of my notebooks. I'm going to flip to another one and see if there's anything else that I want to add. Oh, that one's on a bullet journal. Silly me for putting that in there. This one is... So another way that you can do it is just putting the times of the day on each line down the page. So 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and so on. And at each hour, you just list out the thing that you're going to do during that hour. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it. This one, I tried to do something a little bit more like that. I broke my time down during waking hours into 15-minute increments. This one is what kind of led me, it was sort of inspired by the first college planner I had ever used. Our college, my university, you could purchase like a university planner that had all of the days off of school, all of the holidays, ends of the semester, things like that. And that calendar was broken down into 15-minute increments, and it was the best calendar I'd ever had, by far, without question. So I wanted to start sort of like recreating that concept. One of the other things I did in this one is tracking my habits. So I made this little graph of the different habits I wanted to have. Let's see. So during that time, I was doing some social media marketing work. So one of my habits was getting 7 hours of sleep. Another one was acknowledging the birthdays of the day on social media, checking LinkedIn, checking some other social media. If I maintained my sugar detox, I checked the box. If I did my yoga of the day or my stretching or my workout of the day, I checked that box. I don't remember what some of these other acronyms were, but if I drink my water for the day, all these different things. If I did my 4-mile walk, if I did my care calls for my team members at the time, I would check the box. And one of the motivational things I had put here was I can, I have, I will. So yeah, that's just some fun things about bullet journaling. You can literally, there are Facebook groups I used to be a part of, I swear, all of the bullet journal groups out there. So if this style, this slightly more free flow style, go as you need type thing jives with you, I highly recommend bullet journaling. There are blogs and websites about it. There are Facebook groups. I'm sure there's more today on like Instagram and all the other social media. But for me, I was a Facebook girl. Still kind of am, even though I don't love how they're being. But so if that's some of interest, definitely look up bullet journaling. All right, I'm going to move those notebooks over here so I can see my notes again. So bullet journals is option one. Option two, and this is kind of what I've upgraded to right now, is called a day designer. That's the brand, is Day Designer. And they have a series of planners. Right now they're promoting their academic planners, so that's the 23-24 school year. But they also have annual, like, calendar year planners as well. What I love the most, this is my second Day Designer planner. What I love the most is you can get it in full size, like the size of a notebook. You can get it in full size or mini, which is like 6x8 roughly. I always get the full size. I like to be able to see what I'm writing, read, you know, the different sections I'm looking at. Their planners have the monthly view. They have the daily view, which, again, for me is huge. In the daily view, it breaks it down by hour, but there's enough space that I went through and added a line partway through, halfway through, so I could do it in 30-minute increments. They have an inspirational quote at the top of every single day. They also have today's top three, so you can put your three priorities. You can also put what to do, what's for dinner. You can track finances. You can put a reminder on the don't forget section. They have a huge to-do list section, and they also have a really nice size notes section or doodling section. Let's be honest. Sometimes we just need to doodle so we don't lose our sanity. And then they have a daily gratitude box where you can put something that you're grateful for. And to be cheesy, I guess not to be cheesy, but it's going to be. Today, my daily gratitude, I put that I'm grateful for my radio show. It's such a blessing to be able to share this with you guys and share what I've learned, what's helping me, the experiences I've been through, all these different things, and be able to, you know, learn from those experiences and turn around and then help others with it. So I'm grateful for you listeners and, you know, what you guys are doing in the world too. So back to the planner though, I'm just so in love with it. So I signed up to be an affiliate of the Daily Planner, or the Day Designer Planner. I should call it the right name if I'm going to, you know, recommend it. So the link for that, if you want to check it out, they're a little pricey. They're definitely an investment. Honestly, the best investment I've ever made. It has helped me feel like I've gotten my life back together. As much as I loved bullet journaling and the creativity it gave me, I love this even more because I can include the creativity and I don't have to draw it and map it all out myself. It's already there. It's also got goal planning and other things like that. So super awesome. My affiliate link from the Day Designer Planner, it's a little difficult. I will put it in the show notes. It's shrsl.com. I'm going to make sure that's an L, not an I. I'm going to change the font here so I can read it better. Finding new fonts. Yay. Okay. Yep. It's shrsl.com/46GWU. And that is Day Designer's version of a affiliate link. I would have loved to have customized it more so it was easier to follow, but I'll repeat that info one more time, shrsl.com/46GWU. If you are not someone who likes to write down your planning on paper, you prefer digital, you already carry enough stuff, you are a tree hugger, no offense, because I love trees too, and I do like to get things recycled when I can, if it works for me. So if you're more of a digital person, I strongly recommend just even using Google Calendar. I don't love Google products, but right now that's the one that is the most compatible with the systems that I use. There are plenty of other apps that you can download. that also have their own planners. There's ones that are more creative with more color and more customizability. But for free, Google Calendar is pretty awesome. And I know some people who actually keep a Google account around, a Gmail account, just so that they can have Google Calendar. So those are some options. Number four, it's not to do with how you do your planner. It's more about keeping track of what you're planning to do. Instead of creating the traditional to-do list, what I did years ago, and I've revamped it based on my current lifestyle, but what I created is a home management binder. And even if it's just a home management sheet or PDF or whatever, what I did was I broke down the things that I need to focus on daily. And then I created one for weekly, and I call them intentional activities. So my daily intentional activities, I have a list for like home and work ones, ministry ones. I also have a weekly one, a monthly one, and then I have a seasonal one. So for my seasonal, for fall, I have listed harvest and canning. I have winterized gardens. I have store pots and summer stuff. Swap the ACs and storm windows. That has to do with our ministry inn because the building was built in the 50s, so there's not central air units. So I have that on there. Clean up around the building. Oh, let's not sneeze. Okay. Store any paint in the basement. Wash outsides of the windows. Rake the yard. And I'm sure that's not a complete list, but it's what I have so far. And you can make your list as specific or as general as you need. It's your list. For some of my daily intentional activities, and I, not going to lie, you guys, even myself, during the summer, I dropped the ball big time in keeping up with my daily intentional activities, my weekly ones and everything. So this is even a reminder for me to pick back up. And what I've done is, as I've been organizing my desk, I have a file organizer on my desk. And what I did was I put this couple of sheets for my home management binder and my daily intentional activities right in the very front of my file organizer. So I see it all the time whenever I'm at my desk. Whenever I need to get up for a break, I can be like, oh, bathroom, I can clear the counters and wipe them down. I can clear the clutter. In the bedrooms, I can make the beds and clear any clutter. In the office, I have clear clutter in pretty much every space, by the way. So it's very redundant, but it's part of my 15-minute cleanup. In like the office, sort and organize the paperwork. Or in the laundry room, you know, wash and dry laundry. You know, you get it. But I needed this visual reminder, as overly simplistic as it sounds. My brain is very much like a out of sight, out of mind. And part of it is due to stress and recovering and healing from trauma and abuse. Part of it's just possibly like an ADHD kind of brain, very squirrely. And when I get focused on one thing, it sometimes seems like nothing else exists. That fixation, right? And even if you're neurotypical, because I'm not diagnosed, I'm just kind of using these describers, this descriptive language to explain the examples I'm giving. Whether you're neurotypical or neurodivergent, having things like these lists can help. And when I typically do, and I don't this time, I don't remember what happened if I couldn't find it. Anyways, laminate these or put them in a sheet protector. The reason is there's something in our brain that loves to check off lists. So as we check off the lists, it just feels so satisfying and gratifying, but you don't want to be printing these out all the time. So laminate them or put them in a sheet protector and then use a dry erase marker and check them off that way. So every day or every month or every week, year, whatever, you can erase it and have, you know, start over fresh. So those are kind of my main tips for planning purposes to start your back to fall, back to school prepping naturally in a way that's really supportive. It helps minimize your stress and anxiety. Number two category is personal growth. The very first thing I recommend is really starting the Bible in a year, whether you start tonight or in the morning. Very first thing I do in the morning, especially if I don't want to wake up my kiddo, is I want to start out my day doing something very quiet. And what that is for me is reading my Bible. I admittedly have never read it front to back in my life, and I'm 34, which is really sad, but very, very few exposures I've ever had really encouraged it. It was just always very preachy and nitpicking certain verses to fit certain narratives and agendas. And I finally got to a point, this rebel with a cause spirit of mine, got to a point like, what does the whole Bible say in context itself? I don't want to hear other people's opinions and perspectives, their nitpicked verses. I want to see and hear what it says for itself. So that was my conviction. And I'm going to tell you, even just the simple routine of starting my day with the Bible, whether it's reading one chapter or several, starting the day out like that before I even crawl out of bed, drink my 8 ounces of water, and read my Bible, that habit kicks off my entire day on a much better note than if I don't do it. So I highly recommend, even today, the middle of the month, just start. For 15 minutes, you could set a timer or set a length limit. I know that some chapters get kind of lengthy, so maybe you read a page, or maybe you read for 15 minutes. Whatever that is, maybe it's just 5 minutes. Let's be honest. Maybe all we can handle is reading for 5 minutes at a time. Some people will read it front to back, cover to cover. Some people want to read it chronologically. I don't have a preference. This time I start out reading it cover to cover just to see what it says in order as published in our modern Bibles, just so I could see what it says. My next plan is to read it chronologically, but I'm going to finish it this way first. Another option for personal growth and to really help support mental health. This is really where I'm getting at with this. Stress emotionally, mentally ends up carrying over into our physical health too. It's very well proven. Most people acknowledge it, that stress has a negative impact on our immune system. So when we get really stressed, if we have a really big event, or sometimes when we get back from vacation or even trying to prep for vacation, we'll get sick either right before vacation or right after vacation or right in the middle of a big deadline. And it's because that stress, we let it impact us and impact us negatively, I should say. And it caused us to get sick because our body, essentially, I'm really minimizing the complexity here. But in essence, our body is so focused on the thing that's causing us the stress that it doesn't have the energy to focus on keeping us healthy. Sometimes when we're really stressed, we also don't eat or sleep as well as we should or exercise like we should. So there's kind of like this whole trifecta type situation where stress plus the reduction in healthy habits plus the poor sleep all compiled to lower our immune system. Same with anger. Anger is very well known to impact our liver. Even modern medicine typically recognizes that. So the more we can reduce those things and maintain a stress-free, calm environment, the healthier we're going to be. And I think it was yesterday, I saw this quote, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but basically the quote says, if it's not worth being angry about in 5 years, don't even spend 5 minutes being angry over it now. And I thought that was really inspiring. It really was impactful, because how often do we let something seemingly really basic, you know, the next day or even a year down the road, you know, upset us? So being conscious about those things is really important. And that kind of leads me to the next one, journaling. Journaling is a really, really key thing. Some people like to do journaling with meditation. Some people don't like the word meditation because it's been so tied to Eastern religion stuff. But in essence, meditation is simply reflecting internally. Even the Bible, I believe most versions, somewhere it says Jesus meditated. Now, it's not like ohms and chanting and you know, hand positions. All it needs to be is, you know, sitting kind of quiet somewhere. You could be laying down in a chair, on the floor, whatever. Just breathing deep. Most of us like to close our eyes. And maybe just have a reflective question to focus on. How was my day? What happened today that was positive? You know, it could be that basic. You could also just ask yourself and ask God, and I like to ask God this, like, especially if I'm doing it in the morning, I'll ask God, what is it that I need to know and do today to bring me closer to my higher purpose, or bring me closer to achieving or fulfilling my higher purpose? And I'll usually listen to some instrumental music of some kind just to help tune out any other distracting noises, but music is not required. And I'll just kind of sit there and think about like what I have going on for the day. And then sometimes my checklist will start to pop up, which is not a bad thing. I will start to create my checklist or my wait list and just brain dump. This is another form of brain dumping. I also might think of things that I'm grateful for and write those down. Some people really like to do gratitude journals, and if that's your jam, highly recommend doing it. Get into that daily practice. Set the timer for 2 minutes to start. I usually do it for 10 to 15 minutes. If I'm really kind of in a flow with getting the creative juices going, I'll let it go for about a half hour if I have time. During waking hours, as a mom, that usually doesn't happen, but when it does, sometimes I just let it flow. The third thing for personal growth is really self-care. And this is where cats come back into the conversation. Because it's International Cat Day, I wanted to look up what the health benefits are of a cat's purr. I've heard it for years that there's actually a healing benefit to cats purring, especially on our body. By the way, I'm looking at hepper.com, H-E-P-P-E-R. It's just a web search. And the link is called, or the site, or the page, that's the word, the page is called 7 Health Benefits of a Cat's Purr. There are studies that show that cats purring can decrease stress and lower blood pressure. It can also decrease the risk of a heart attack and promote bone healing. This one particularly, bone healing, is really fascinating to me, especially because there is a family history of like rheumatoid arthritis, and because osteoporosis and osteoarthritis is so rampant in culture today, I find this one very alluring, very appealing. So there's something about the cat's purring frequency that helps bone roots recover faster. I've also seen other pages refer to the fact that it can make our bones stronger. And in my brain, I sort of compare it to the idea of when we're making some sort of creation with like concrete, with cement. If we're putting it in a form, can't think of the proper word for it, but if you have a form that you're dumping, whether it's a 5-gallon pail to make stepping stones or whatever, if you're pouring this concrete or this liquid to set into the form, you need to kind of shake it or jiggle it or vibrate it somehow to get out the air pockets, because it'll make it stronger. And when I picture how our brains are, how our bones are composed, the vibration of the cat, I kind of picture as strengthening those bonds within our bone structure. So I've seen talk about that kind of stuff too. Cats purring and also even cuddling, especially if you're a parent with your baby. Cuddling, having that heart-to-heart connection, that skin-to-skin contact, but also cats purring improves our breathing. It improves our circulatory system. It helps regulate our heart rate. Even with kids, and I'm not, because I know some people, there are some concerns out there with having pets too close to babies. So I'm going to focus on babies and moms here for a second. There is a lot of science that proves skin-to-skin contact with our babies benefits both mom and baby. It improves both of their immune systems, their respiratory system, their circulatory system, and especially if someone has a fever, that skin-to-skin contact somehow helps the feverish body self-regulate in temperature. How amazing is that? Our bodies are just so wonderfully they're just so wonderfully created. Words are not working. But they're just so amazingly designed. That's my main point. That's what I was trying to get at. All right, before I go on to the next couple in segment three, I'm going to cut to a commercial, and let's hope that the one I wanted to go with will work this time. Let me click over there. So we're going to cut to a commercial. We're going to start segment three then, and we're going to wrap up these back to school, back to fall prep ideas. And I'm also going to share some resources that, in addition to the planner and that How to Win in Court course I mentioned earlier, some other resources that you're going to want in your arsenal to really get back to fall, back to school the right way.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio. All right, and since we are talking about wellness and back to school and all that good stuff, I'm also adding that I love to use Earthly. They are a natural health and wellness product company. They have many products, including different remedies and I think some tinctures. My favorite product of theirs is their Good Night Lotion, which uses magnesium to support sleep and detox, healthy blood sugar levels, and gut health. And it's also infused with lavender, which most of us know also gives that calming, soothing, you know, feeling. I also love that they use clean ingredients in their wellness products. So if you would like to check out Earthly and their products, you can use my affiliate link, earthly.com/ref/livingwithfreedom. I'm going to spell that out. It's earthly, earthly.com/ref/livingwithfreedom. All right. So now we're going on to segment three, and we're wrapping up this back to school, back to fall prep naturally topic of the day. If you missed the first two segments, I talked about our fun tidbit, which today is International Cat Day. We just, at the end of segment two, wrapped up talking about how cats' purrs can be healing and healthy for our bodies. And then in segment two, we talked about different options or different ideas of how we can start to prep for fall and prep for school naturally. And it's a little bit indirect because as we look at planning, as we look at personal growth, these things build into supporting our natural health and wellness without really taking anything. And that's what I love about those things is as we manage our stress and our growth and our health, it doesn't always manifest in what we eat and how much sleep we get and how much exercise we get. It also manifests in how we treat our lives day to day, throughout the day. So topic, or I guess category three of my list is being a student for life. We know that people who, after retirement, basically stop engaging, they literally start to lose their memories, their minds. So the more that we can continue at any age of life, continue to engage our minds and, you know, activate our brains and continue to learn new things, the more we can do those things, the better off we're going to be and the better off our mental health is going to be. So I have three main things that I highly recommend for being a student for life. The first one is, and this is very much biased, it's not an affiliate link, but because I talk about living with freedom and our liberties, the first one here is libertyfirstsociety.com. This website and course on the website was created by Chris Ann Hall and her wife, JC, or oh my goodness, Chris Ann Hall and her husband. Chris Ann, if you ever hear this, I apologize. JC is Chris Ann's husband. There we go. This course is a phenomenally put together course on learning what our liberties and our rights really are. She does a fantastic job of starting the groundwork by introducing the genealogy of the Constitution and really getting back to the framers and the founders and their, you know, intention and what this all means, especially if you're someone who learns better by watching and listening. She is an amazing resource. If you're more of a reader, obviously, like, going back to original source documents like your Constitution is key, but if you want to hear someone's kind of narrative or narration, explanation on the original intent, David Barton's Original Intent book is amazing. Another option that I had mentioned during segment one after our word of the day is the How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer course. Like I said before, most of us may experience a challenge, you know, a law-related challenge at some point in our lives, whether it's family court with divorce, whether it's like dealing with probate after a loved one passes and dealing with assets, or whether it's criminal or civil court. most of us at some point in our lives will deal with the law system at some point. So why not understand how it works and use it to our advantage? So How to Win a Court Without a Lawyer course is amazing. If you want to take the course, I think the first year access is like $280 maybe for like a full-on course. You get an honorary Juris Doctorate after you finish it, which, you know, is not important, but it's really cool to say that you have. And it gives you that confidence boost. But anyways, if you want to take the course for a full year access, like I said, it's like something like $280, and it's like $80 every year after that when you renew, if you need to. The course can be found at howtowinincourt.com, refer code equals SH0024. Oof, today words are just a struggle fest, so I apologize for anyone listening if this feels like a hot mess, because it is. But we all have off days, and this is mine for the week. So we're gonna go with it. My third option, and I already kind of touched on this when I talked about Chris Ann Hall's course, is Know Your Constitutions. Really consider this fall giving yourself a mini course. I know Hillsdale College has another course on the Constitution too. But really just sit down with the Constitution of the United States of America. Sit down with your state constitution and just read them for yourself. Most state constitutions are very, very similar to the U.S. Constitution. In fact, Wisconsin's constitution, the first article, is pretty much the full Bill of Rights, or at least the Bill of Rights, which is like the first 10 amendments. These things are the foundation for our rights and liberties. They do not give us our rights and liberties, but they protect them. So how can we truly think about living with freedom if we don't know what protects those freedoms? The next category is supplies and remedies. My option one for supplies and remedies to have in my home for basically like a first aid kit, basically, is essential oils. I am a huge, huge fan of essential oils for supporting health and wellness. I've used a certain company's oils for a decade, and you really want to know and trust your essential oil company. Make sure that their products are truly plant-based and not synthetic fragrances. If you don't know anything about essential oils, you do not have to be an aromatherapist or a doctor or anything, to use aromatherapy for your health and wellness. With the resources we have available today, it's shocking to me that people still make the argument, oh, what do you have, a Google degree? You realize that more information is accessible through the internet than in any other time with any other resources in history. So yeah, if you have a specific health challenge that you want to, you know, address or look at, even if it's just a headache, you can search essential oils for headaches on the website or on the internet and find things that will help. And then you use the products from your company that you know and trust, and you support your wellness. This is not rocket science. And even if it was, like, you can figure it out. It's not difficult. So a couple of the resources I love for aromatherapy and essential oils, Ethical Aromatherapy by Kurt Schnabelt. I'm going to spell his name because it's German, I think. So Kurt is K-U-R-T. Schnabelt is S-C-H-N-A-U-B-E-L-T. The book is Medical Aromatherapy. I know you can find this on Amazon. I believe you can get all of his books or most of his books in ebook version, so you can read them on your Kindle app. Another book that I have mentioned previously is the book The Chemistry of Essential Oils by David Stewart. highly recommend those two books, especially if you are more of a nerd and you want to understand the how and the why behind the recommendations. Another thing I highly recommend, I personally do not know enough about it yet. I am very passionate about it, but I don't know enough about it yet, is homeopathy. I know that if you want to avoid the hokey pokies, there is a thing called homeoprophylaxis, which is part of like the homeopathy family. But there are also a lot of homeopathic remedies that you can get for just everyday kind of things at home. And I'm going to share the email to one of my friends who, she also has a ministry, if I remember right, that I helped her set up. And she is studying homeopathy. She is working to be able to be a homeopath so that she can help other people. So she's still in the studies, and I believe she still has a mentor. Either way, even if she finished her studies, she is a really compassionate person. She will study and help you find answers, and I love and appreciate that about her. Her name is Kat, and so her email address, if you want to know more about homeopathy, this is not an affiliate. This is literally just me sharing something that I have experienced benefits from and a trusted source that I can point you to. But her email address is KATDUN as in Nancy, AM as in Mary, S. So it's her name, Kat Dunham's Homeopathy, HOMEOPATHY, @gmail.com. So the full email is katdunhamshomeopathy@gmail.com. She also said that you can find her on the Facebook group, Homeopathy in NYC. And I highly recommend reaching out to her, even if you just have a really basic question like, what really is homeopathy? Like, she has so many resources and pointed me in a lot of helpful directions to, one, understand how this works, but also get me access to a really good company that I can get homeopathic remedies from to build my arsenal, to build my toolkit and my first aid kit for these homeopathic remedies. Going back to essential oils for a second, if you're interested in essential oils and you want to know more about the company that I use, please feel free to send me an email at livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. And in the subject line, just put essential oils or Living with Freedom Radio EOs, like EOS. Just let me know what it is that you're curious about in the subject line so I can kind of keep those things organized. But I like to make sure that I keep some of my public things that I do and the private things that I do through my ministry separate. So that's why I'm asking you to send me an email if you're curious about essential oils and what I use. Mostly it's out of integrity. I usually am an open book, but with certain things, with affiliate links and products I know and love, I like to be very cautious and careful about how I recommend what I recommend and make sure that when I'm recommending certain things, I do it in the context of a private conversation that's protected. So that's why it feels weird to talk about essential oil sometimes, because I don't want to just come out and say what I use without, you know, without a personal discussion, without a personal conversation. Anyways, category 5 in my tips for back to school, back to prep, naturally, or back to fall prep naturally, is posture and stretching. One of the things that I invested in this summer, and I actually got it used, was a sit-stand desk. I've been wanting one for, gosh, probably 8, 10, 12 years, ever since I found out they were a real thing. The cool thing about sit-stand desks is that it helps break up the monotony. Our bodies were never meant to just sit or just stand still for extended periods of time. And yet, that's what's expected of us when we have a desk job, is to sit on your butt. And even in school, most of us were taught to sit down, shut up, and do your worksheet, right? And I don't subscribe to that. So I finally got a sit-stand desk. And I will tell you, as I'm learning to use this thing, I am so grateful because it has helped my back pain. It has helped my hips. I have not really a chronic hip issue, but because of lifestyle with being, you know, at a desk, I tend to have really tight hip flexors. And being able to stand part of the day has helped tremendously. So highly recommend. And I'm going to add, if you want to level up your posture and your sit-stand desk, get a walking treadmill to put underneath your sit-stand desk. There are a lot that are mobile that you can just kind of roll away into a closet when you're not using it. And I would highly recommend, that's also been on my bucket list, maybe by the end of the year I'll have a walking treadmill with my desk too. But that's something that keeps your body in motion. And just like Newton's law of physics, one of them, an object in motion stays in motion, an object at rest stays at rest. The more we can keep our bodies moving, the healthier they're going to be, the more flexible they're going to be, the more they're going to be more fluid in their movement and less stiff. It's just like machinery. If you let a machine sit for a long period of time, there's going to be oxidation and rust, and things are going to be stiff and might not work as well. It's going to be squeaky, all that stuff. But if you continuously use the machine, it keeps the lubrication moving and keeps it flowing and functioning normally. One of the other things that has been a godsend in my life when it comes to posture and stretching is a foam roller. You can do so many different things with a foam roller. You can give yourself your own massage. Basically, with a foam roller, you can help your body stretch in ways that you kind of just can't with just your own body, because if you're, for instance, in a bridge pose, you're having to use muscles to be able to get your body into that bridge pose. So you're not getting the deep, deep stretch that your body really needs like you could with the foam roller and being able to kind of just lay on that. You can also stretch a lot of stuff in the hips and the thighs and even your shoulders and your arms in ways that are just really, really difficult on your own by yourself without the foam roller. So you can get them, I think, even at Walmart, but for sure Target. You can order them online. I'm sure you can get perfectly fine ones on Amazon. I don't even remember where I ordered my first one. I got my second one from Target. And they are so amazing, you guys. So these are the things that I think are the most important when you're looking at back to school, back to fall prep. To recap, those things are really the categories. We're looking at your planning. We're looking at personal growth, being a student for life. We're talking about supplements and remedies, or supplies and remedies. And we're talking about posture and stretching. All of these things help you get on the right foot for fall and for every season beyond. So I'm curious, listeners, if we're connected on Facebook, or if you want to chime in the comments or shoot me an email, let me know what your favorite tip was here, or if you have a favorite tip that you love for back to fall and back to school, what is your favorite tip? So you can either pick from the list that I shared today, or if you have your own, I would love to hear what your tip is for back to school and back to fall naturally. There are a lot more things that I could have added, but this is really the core basics that I use in my personal life. And I know that when I know better, I can do better. So when I learn something and I know something, I want to be able to share it so others can know and do better too. So just a recap, I am Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries. And this show is brought to you today by Living with Freedom Ministries, where I help you discover and explore your God-given purpose by living with freedom. Living with freedom can look like physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness and freedom. It can also be just everyday life and what that kind of freedom looks like. And being able to support your personal private ministry and the work that you do, serving the world, serving your community, and serving others in a way that's in alignment with your values and your beliefs, without having to ask permission, without having to, you know, get a permission slip from Big Brother. We were designed for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this fall, let me help you do that. If you're on a mission to take back your rights and your liberties, and you feel like a private membership association might be a good fit for what you're looking at doing to be able to serve others, shoot me an email. I'll share that one more time. It's livingwithfreedom@proton.com. You can also go to my access link, which is go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. When you go to that link, you'll get access to a 10-minute introduction to PMAs, as well as a full 25-minute webinar on what PMAs really are and how they can help protect you. If you want to schedule a consultation then, we can definitely get you on the schedule and we can have a chat about what you're looking at doing and how I can help you. This has been Living with Freedom Radio. Remember that you can find us find me every Tuesday here on Freedomizer Radio. When you go to the Listen Live link at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, on Tuesdays, you'll be able to listen live. You can also go to the Freedomizerradio.com link, and in there you can go to the menu and click shows, and you can find Living with Freedom Ministries, and you'll be able to find us there too, and you'll be able to see all the different things that we do, all the different episodes, see all of the different affiliate links that I and referral codes that I share, and get access to the other shows on Freedomizer Radio. We have a lot of really good shows here. We have a really good community of people. And I think that's all I wanted to share on that. If you have any questions, like I said, email me at livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. And we'll see you next week.